Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
How many of you in your Bible reading sometimes have gotten to Judges and you skip over it? Anybody want to be honest about that? Yeah. Thank you, John. You were honest in there. We're going to start a series for the next several weeks that's really, it's kind of a stoic and a sober journey through a book that really, I fear, is often misunderstood. And quite frankly, it's avoided. And I'm going to say right up front, okay, right up front, as we approach the next 6 weeks, and I wrestled to spend 6 weeks in Judges, you're probably going to hear things brought in maybe a light you've never heard before. Because if we look at Judges, the word judge means to put things right. That's literally what the word means. And this is a time period from when the children of Israel, they go out, they go through the wilderness, they come right up to the promised land. And as they come up to the promised land, some things happen. They send spies in, 12 spies. You guys remember the story? How many spies came back and said that they were scared? Do you remember how many of the 10? How many? I just gave it to you. Never mind. This is why I'm not a teacher. Let's have multiple choice question. The answers are A. Next question. All right. So that's the test that I could do. All right, so you have the 10 spies came back and are like, oh, no, it's too great. Yeah, it's just like God said it was, but there's big giants in the land, and we look like grasshoppers in our own sight. It's interesting how I said it like that. But two spies, Caleb and Joshua, came back and said, man, God said it. Let's go get it. And the children of Israel, they gathered around the report of the 10. Here's a great thing for us today as Christians in the United States of America in 2016. Just because it's popular doesn't mean it's right. All right? Just because it might be popular doesn't mean that it's right, especially in God's sight here. How many of you ever had a hero in your life? Who else had ever had a hero? Anybody here remember Roger Staubach? He was it, man. The Naval Academy, clean cut, won the Heisman Trophy, went to the Dallas Cowboys, Roger Dodger. Man, he was my hero, and I dare say my idol. I wanted everything I had, wanted to have Roger Staubach attire. In fact, people recognize that we make a lot of sports people heroes. I remember in the 90s when Jordan was going on that big tear in the Chicago Bulls, everybody was Michael Jordan over the top. People were getting their hair cut there. Everybody had Jordans on. It was great. And then stories begin to seep out about gambling and about some other stuff. And isn't it crazy when your heroes aren't really heroic? Well, the dictionary says some interesting things about what a hero is. In fact, the dictionary says a hero is a person who is admired or idealized for courage, outstanding achievements, or noble qualities. And I gotta say that a lot of us, you know, sometimes we try to make Bible heroes, which I think is a super thing. And if you grew up, flip that next slide up. How many of you know what this, a felt board? How many of you had felt board Sunday school lessons? Anybody had felt board Sundays? I'm aging you people if you had felt board Sunday school lessons, because now they don't do that. And what, for us other people who never had a felt board, here's what it was. It was a board made of, I don't know how they came up with a name. Crazy. You're like, pah. Anyway, so this, and then they would cut out these Bible characters, and the teacher would go, and then da 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 da. And it was kind of like watching an old time cartoon, and they would kind of put it together and stuff. And it was crazy because they'd say Bible heroes. And this is literally from the Bible heroes set, and it was Samson. I gotta tell you, do you really think Samson's a hero? Because what we're going to find out in the next 6 weeks is many people who we may have called heroes, not very heroic. Gideon. People say, I want to have the faith of Gideon. No, you don't. No. You really don't. In fact, what we're going to see through the book of Judges, you see, one of the things of First Christian Church, one of the reasons we're called to reach, teach, and empower, because I'm amazed at the amount of biblical illiteracy that goes around. And I know that sometimes, you know, we make coloring things for the kids and they'll put different people. And certainly, yeah, there's Samson. Everybody wants to have the strength of Samson. I got to tell you, Samson was one of the weakest people that we have in all the Bible. He had zero self-restraint, zero self-respect. He was a moral failure. He was corrupt. These guys aren't wonderful people. And here's why. Because the judges were not spiritual leaders. The judges were more like military or community leaders. And we're going to see as we really examine some really, some sobering things as we move forward. And I'm going to tell you right up front, Judges is a tough book. We're going to spend 6 weeks here and I'm like, man, how are we going to get 6 weeks? We're all going to be very depressed at the end of this. But if we really look at it, to be honest, we're going to find two things. Number one, how much God loves us in spite of ourselves. How merciful is our God? You see, there are many chapters in Scripture that aren't there because it's all, you know, unicorns and smiles. No. This is rough stuff. And I'm going to tell you, you know, this is way beyond PG-13. There's violence, there's bloodshed, it's a very tough book. But it's important, or it wouldn't be in Scripture, and so we're going to see some really, really cool things. The other thing we're going to find out is how it's a commentary on us, and how we always are looking for a hero, and our need for a real hero, and our futile efforts to substitute shallow counterfeits for what God has provided for. Here we go. And let's begin to jump forward here about the setup for walking into Judges, because this is critical. Joshua chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. Now, I'm going to encourage you to bring a Bible to church. If you do not have one, text me, email me, Facebook me, and I will buy you one. If you've got a real precious Bible that was from your great aunt or great grandma and you don't want to write in it, that's super. I'll give you one that you can write all over to place in Sharpie. I want you to tear a Bible up, because a good used Bible means it's been used. I don't know where I was going with that one, but let's keep going here. So, a good used Bible. I feel like that's how I used to buy my college books. I want to buy a used book from a smart person. So, here we go. A long time afterwards, when the Lord had given rest to Israel, who gave rest to Israel? Did Israel do it themselves? Who gave it to them? Very good, class. And Joshua was old and well advanced in years. Thank you for not saying like me. Joshua summoned all Israel and its elders, its heads, its judges, and officers, and said to them, I'm now old and well advanced in years. Verse 3, and you have seen. Now, I added the highlighting here. And I'd like everyone to read with me this highlighted thing. Ready? That the Lord your... Now, everyone means everyone. Okay, the Greek word for everyone means everyone. Okay, ready? Ready, 1, 2, 3. That the Lord your God has done all these... Wow. Okay. That reverb unit in. That's pretty cool. Okay, so who had done it? The Lord your God. All right. And he did it for your sake. It was the Lord who got your God who fought for you. Verse 4, behold, I have allotted to you as inheritance for your tribes these nations that remain, along with all the nations that I've already cut off from the Jordan to the great sea in the west. Verse 5, let's read that underlined part together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. The Lord your God will push them back before you and drive them out of your sight. Who's going to push them back? Who's going to drive them out of your sight? Are you getting a clue here? So Joshua's saying, look what has happened in the past. God has done it. Who's going to do it now? Okay. And you shall possess their land just as the Lord God promised you. Therefore, be very strong. Now he's going to tell you why you need to be strong. And it's not what we think it is. Be strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. He didn't say you need to be very strong militarily. He didn't say you need to be strong in your wise strategies. He didn't say you need to sharpen your spears and you need to make lots of stuff. He said you need to be strong in following the law of Moses, turning aside from it to neither the right nor to the left, that you may not mix with these nations among you or make mention of the names of their gods or swear by them or serve them or bow down to them, but you shall cling to the Lord your God just as you have done to this day. For the Lord your God has driven out before you great and strong nations. That's important. God's driven out great and strong nations. And God didn't want them to be affected by the gods of the lands that he had called them into. All right? God wanted them to reflect his glory. In fact, God wanted the children of Israel. He wanted this people. When people looked at the children of Israel, that they would see God. And guess what, guys? All of us here today, gang, God wants to do the same thing for us. When people, God wants to show everyone around you what he is like. Not by just your words, but by your actions. He wants to transform your life in such a way. I'll never forget coming to a major place of submission to God and just yielding some things over and going back to college. And there were literally people who came up to me and said, and introduced themselves. Everything about me was radically turned upside down to the point where people who had known me for 2 years were like, well, I don't even know who you are anymore. He wants your life, not just your words, your life to reflect who he is. Doesn't that get you excited? Y'all are like, yeah, preacher, we're excited. Man, sign me up for this stuff. Because guess what? God is good and God is loving. And when I look at the world right now, I'm like, ah. Verse 10. One man of you puts to flight 1,000, since the Lord your God, it's the Lord your God who fights for you, just as he promised. Be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. Then Moses goes on and on and says, let's all make a covenant. And he makes them swear this covenant. And he says the famous words, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He basically said, look, if you want to serve another God, serve another God. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I love that verse. How many of you like that verse? It's a great verse. Now, I've set it up. You can't read Judges 1 and 1 without reading that. Because now Judges 1 and 1 is going to make a little more sense. You ready? Oh, we're going to start from bad and we're going to go to worse. Are you ready, gang? I'm not going to go to you, so you're ready. Okay, just making sure. Judges 1, 1. After the death of Joshua, the people of Israel inquired of the Lord, who shall go up first for us against the Canaanites to fight against them? What did, I feel like I'm lecturing my kids now. What did God just say about who was going to fight for him? Huh? Are we the same way? Yeah, God, you're correct. It was the one answer, God. Hey, God. Yeah, he said, look, God is going to go up. And so now they're coming and they're saying, okay, God had already said who was going to do this. So now, if you're saying, well, I want some specifics, okay. So verse 1 and 2, and the Lord said, Judah shall go up. I can almost hear, in my opinion, this is me, my commentary. I can almost hear God going, all right, Judah will go up first. And behold, I have given the land into his hand. Who had given the land? God. And he'd given it to who? You ready for the train wreck? Verse 3. And Judah said to Simeon, his brother, come up with me into the territory allotted for me that we may fight against the Canaanites. And I likewise will go with you into the territory allotted you. So Simeon went with him. Hey, gang. God said, look, I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to do this thing. And then they ask, okay, who's first? Okay, Judah's first. And Judah's response, here's what I think Judah's response should have been. God, you said it, that's it, bam. And yet I see here in this response something that I think that we're all guilty of. God moves us to a place to say, would you step out in faith? And okay, you need the steps, here are the steps. And then we go back and instead of taking that strategy, we concoct a whole nother strategy to make us more strong and we don't have to rely on God anymore. He never said, hey, you go first and grab Simeon to go with you. That wasn't in his strategy, but it made Judah feel a whole lot more comfortable. And when I read this, I'm reading right back into my life. I can't wait to remove having to believe and trust in God. God says some simple things. Walk in obedience and believe. And yet then I want to always hedge my bets. How many of you are bet hedgers? Gotta find some way to remove faith from the equation. Gotta find, and then we wonder why we don't grow spiritually. This was never in the plan. God just built them up over this covenant that they took. They said, believe me. And they're like, yeah, we're gonna believe you. Yeah, we're gonna believe you. Okay, you go first. Great, I'll go first. Who's gonna go with me? Now, here's the troubling thing. When you ask God for something, He's such a loving and gracious God. God will give us what we ask Him. And if you ask, God, I don't want to walk in faith, God's going to let you not walk in faith. He is the ultimate gentleman. God's like, look, choose you this day. Those are the words through Moses, through Joshua. Choose you this day. If we constantly set our life up that we never have to walk in faith, God's going to allow us to do that. And the problem is when we rely in our own strength, we do not stand. The next three verses are crazy. They have this little fight. And they go after this like mayor kind of guy, this like little leader guy named Adonai, which means Lord, Bezek, which is okay. So Lord Bezek, this little leader guy, and they capture this guy and they cut off his thumbs and his toes, his big toes. Where did this come from? Have you ever read that and thought, whoa, that's kind of a left turn. Why would you do? I mean, is that in the Bible? Why is that in the Bible? Because I don't remember God saying, thou shalt go in and dispossess them from their big toes. And they shall cut off thy thumbs. And who, it sounds like a Monty Python sketch. It does. The only thing missing is the coconuts and neat, neat, neat. That's all we're missing here. Where did this come from, gang? Is that, now come on, is that not a legit question? As I read scripture and I see things like this, it's like, this makes no sense. Anybody else? You want to know where it came from? You see, when you have a question, this is good Bible study technique. When you have a question, usually the answer is in the text. Chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and his big toes. And Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings with their thumbs and their big toes cut off used to pick up the scraps under my table. As who has done? As I have done, so God has repaid me. So, wait a minute. God never told them to do this. And their first battle into a new land, and they automatically pick up the customs of the people who they were supposed to conquer. This was a Canaanite thing. You know what else was a Canaanite thing? Child sacrifice. And what we're going to see in the Judges by the time we get to the end of this train wreck is the children of Israel doing the same thing. Oh boy, this was jumping off the page to me. So they go out, they fight, they win, and they do this thing, which is exactly how this king acted. And I know some people are like, oh, this is Old Testament. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Hey, gang, if we're going to play eye for an eye, tooth for the tooth, that's Jews to Jews. That's God's people to God's people. What God called them to do is to, and I know that this is not politically correct, He called them to wipe them out. God was not tolerant. You see, we live in such a tolerant society, and I understand where our society goes, but God is serious about purity, and God is serious about holiness. And we think because we have come to an enlightened age that somehow God is not serious about holiness anymore. Where did that come from? He is the same God. We are in a new covenant. We are not holy by our own actions. We don't sacrifice goats. We don't apply the blood like that, because the blood of Jesus Christ took care of us all. And our righteousness is based in Jesus Christ. And that's the ultimate righteousness that we can ever have. And now as a response to that, we allow by faith Him to transform our lives to reflect His love. So yes, this is a prior covenant. And we can't rewrite and say, well, that was bad. No, it wasn't. God knew that these gods were going to be a snare to them. And He knew, He called them not to play with them, to wipe them out. Here's the problem, guys. You see, Christianity is different than any other religion in the fact that this Christianity is about what God did for us. Just about every other major world religion is about what we do for God or what we do for ourselves. That's not the base of Christianity. Christianity is that God loved us and what God did for us. So we see Judah making some big mistakes. He goes in, he doesn't just rely on God, he gets his brothers and the boys in the hood, they just go and they're taking over. Now they're beginning to act just like the kings of the land. You know, it's an interesting fact. Why do we play with what God wants us to conquer? And you can take that to the bank, brothers and sisters. Why do we play with what God wants to conquer? And you can fill in the blank. Whether it's anger or unforgiveness, or whether it's, a refusal to enforce the victory that God wants. Some of us know that our tongues are prone to gossip, and yet we consistently play with it instead of allow God to conquer it. Whether it be lust, whether it be pornography, whether it be adultery, you fill in the blank. God has a promised land for us. Here are things that He wants to deal with. There are things that He wants to conquer, and we're no different than Judah. Instead of conquer it, we play with it, and then we wonder how our character becomes corrupt. And if you don't think His character is corrupt, turn with me to verse 19. And the Lord was with Judah, and He took possession of the hill country, but He could not drive out the inhabitants of the plain because they had chariots of iron. Newsflash, have chariots ever been a problem for God? Pharaoh had chariots. Was there a problem with that? Did God have a problem with chariots? Absolutely not. Who had a problem with chariots? Judah. Why? Because his strength was not founded in God. I believe his strength was founded in his own strategies. And you wonder why you try to plan and plot everything out for the rest of your life. Guys, gang, go to God. Don't you think maybe, just maybe, He might be a little bit wiser than you? You think? Is that really why? Because of chariots? No. It's because the strength that he relied in was the he himself in Judah. Verse 28. Now here's where we really begin to see the corrupt character come out. When Israel grew strong. So, if they struggled now and God's response was get rid, dispossess the land from the Canaanites, guess what? So now they're strong. They couldn't do it when they were relying on themselves. Now they're strong. What should they be doing? Dispossessing the land. Here's what they did. They put the Canaanites to forced labor and did not drive them out completely. You know what? Some of us like to exploit the things that God wants us to conquer. We play with them. You know, I've talked to people in business and they wrestle and they're like, you know what? I can't make this. They'll have an ethical issue. They're seriously, they'll have an ethical issue, an ethical problem. And they'll say, you know what? You know, I've got this thing going on and it's a business issue and man, it's really lucrative. And I've prayed that God wants me to, and I know that God wants me to be successful in business, not at the cost of your character. Proverbs tells us about unrighteous gain. You don't want it, guys. Well, I have an opportunity for promotion, and then I know someone came around and I had a chance to character assassinate someone else who was up there for me. But praise God, I got the job. Okay? Gang, this is a powerful book, and it's a really, really ugly book. And as I read it, I find more of things that God wants to conquer that I want to play with. Judges 2, 1 through 3. Here's when judgment comes. See, God sees it, God gets it, God knows it. We may think that we're getting away with it. We may think it's no big deal. We may even convince ourselves that we're walking in faith. Because blessings, hey, blessings don't mean that you're in the right place with God. What we're going to see all throughout Judges is he uses messed up people. Now, thank God for that. Because if you're messed up, God's still going to use you. But the first thing he wants to do is be God in you more than just God through you. Amen? Everybody's got the, now I'm really depressed, kind of look on your face. No, this is good stuff. This is good stuff. I know this is a hard word. But you know why he gives us hard word? Because he's got destiny for us. He's got destiny for us. He wants to get our foundation so sure in him that we can possess the promised land that God has for us. And every person in this room, God's got a promised land. Let's wrap this up. Now, the angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I brought you from Egypt and I brought you into a land that I swore to give your fathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall break down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. What is this that you have done? So now I say, I'll not drive them out before you, but there'll be thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare to you. Pastor, we don't like these militant Old Testament sermons because things are different now. We live in a different dispensation. You know what? You're right. We do live in a different dispensation. We're now in the dispensation of grace. We live in a new covenant. But, honey, God still is concerned with holiness just as much now as he was then. He still wants us to reflect him, not sin. He still wants to be our strength just like then, and we still need to learn the same lessons that they were missing at this time. Amen? So how do we wrap? Three quick points to wrap this up. When I say quick points, I mean quick points. Number one, God wants to use us to show the world what he is like. That's good news, isn't it? God wants to use you. Everybody take your hand. Pat right there. God wants to use me. Now, kind of do it emphatically, annoying. God, come on, do this. I made you do it. No, God wants to use you. He does. And God wants to use me. Sometimes I feel like I want to smack the junk out. And that's not a bad thing. God wants to use me to show the world what he is like. That's a great and a glorious calling. And he wants to do it by word and deed. There are too many Christians who can talk the talk but can't walk the walk. Because we rely on our own strength, not his. Second point, God wants to be our strength. Well, that's not just an Old Testament concept. Look how Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 through 12. My grace is sufficient for you now, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Do you want the power of Christ to rest upon you? Because I do. I want the power of Christ to rest upon me. Do you know how this is telling me? Is to not be strong in my own strength. Can I get an amen? For the sake of Christ, then I'm content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am. And my third point is the most important one for us today, but it's hinged upon point two. Final point today is this. Don't play with things that God has called you to conquer. I'm going to say that again. Don't play with things that God has called you to conquer. If you do not dispossess them, they will find ways to possess your land. Don't play with it. God has called us. He's serious about that calling. Amen? He wants to shine through you, and he wants to show the world what he is like. And I think that's a great and that's a glorious thing. And aren't you excited about that? That's the Father. That's the wonderful God that we worship. Isn't that good news? All right.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday School class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.